You're listening to the Open Doors Canada podcast. At Open Doors, we work to strengthen Christians where faith costs the most so that they can continue to be the church in some of the most dangerous places on earth. In this podcast, we analyze current persecution trends, share stories from Christians that face high levels of persecution for their faith, and always stand with them in prayer. Thanks for joining us. Here's today's episode.
Hi friends, this is Jared from Open Doors Canada, and this is the Open Doors Canada podcast, where we encourage you to be praying for your persecuted family around the world. It's Easter week, Holy Week in the Christian tradition. I wanted to just take a few minutes today to share a few reflections on Easter, on Good Friday, and how it relates to the persecuted church. This Easter is the five-year anniversary of the Sri Lanka bombings. It was April 21st, 2019, that Zion Church in Sri Lanka, that was Easter Sunday, was targeted by a suicide bomber who detonated just minutes into the Easter service. 31 members of Zion Church were killed, and 5 years later, the trauma and horrors of that day remain. And for that church, every Easter Sunday carries with it the weight of being the anniversary of losing children and spouses and family and friends. Further, there's the underlying fear. What if it happens again? Is it safe to go to church on Easter Sunday? You see, Easter too often presents a natural target for persecutors. A major Christian festival that will have lots of Christians gathering together in the same place. There's a reason the bombers targeted an Easter service. So as we go into Easter weekend again, I'm reflecting on the paradox of celebrating the resurrection on a day that is marked by death. I use the Sri Lanka bombings as an example, but of course it's not just limited to that, or even really limited to Easter itself. Earlier in March, we heard about a village attacked in Cameroon and a father of five killed by Boko Haram. A separate attack on the Democratic Republic of the Congo saw 15 Christians killed during a church service on February 5th. And, you know, even moving beyond the persecuted church, as I record this, the numbers are still coming in regarding a terrorist attack in Moscow. So far, 137 people are confirmed dead. It's in times like this that I think, how can we look at this devastation and death and then celebrate Easter? How can we sing about life and joy and rebirth while 10,000 mothers mourn their children in the battlefields of Israel and Palestine? I want to share a couple of reflections on that, on Easter, the crucifixion, and the resurrection in light of the brokenness and devastation that we see in the world. But I acknowledge that the fact is nothing I can say will really lighten that grief, can it? You know, if I had a victim sitting here right beside me, it wouldn't do much good for me to say, well, here's why everything is okay. And I want to recognize that. And yet, I think that's exactly where Jesus comes in, isn't it? The crucifixion was the most unjust, unfair instance of suffering, and it was directed toward God himself. This, for me, is the earth-shattering paradox of Easter Sunday. The fact that in order to redeem a broken world, the God of justice, love, and life came to earth and suffered, bled, and died. He knows what it means to be the victim of injustice. And so when we look at the world and cry out in despair, "Where are you, God?" the answer is that he's right there with us, weeping at the state of the world. We can crawl through the muck and the grime of a broken world and find ourselves at the foot of a cross where we look up and see Jesus Christ covered in dirt and blood and know that he understands our grief. Romans 6 tells us that the wages of sin is death. And that goes beyond just the idea of my own individual sin leading to my own individual death. That's part of it, but there's more. See, sin is more than just an individual act. It's the whole state of brokenness that the world exists in. These deaths we talked about in the beginning, 31 people killed in a church bombing, you know, these people didn't die in a church bombing because they sinned, but because the world itself, all of humanity is soaked in brokenness. There shouldn't be bombs, but there are. There shouldn't be natural disasters or diseases, but there are. And it was into this broken, sinful world that God chose to be born as someone without sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24 says this, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. For by his wounds you have been healed." The phrase, "he took our sins," is kind of tricky. It's one of those Christianese phrases that we throw around that we don't always take time to think about what it means. There's a lot that we could go into about what it means and what it involves, and I think it's a really multifaceted idea. But one aspect of it is what I was saying, that a sinless God allowed himself to be the victim of human sin. The righteous judge is a victim of an unjust trial. The defender of the marginalized is executed by an empire. The wages of sin is death. The result of a sinful, broken existence is death. And Jesus chose to participate in that death despite not having to. C.S. Lewis sums it up really well. This is a quote. "Supposing God became a man, suppose our human nature, which can suffer and die, was amalgamated with God's nature in one person. Then that person could help us. He could surrender his will and suffer and die because he was man, and he could do it perfectly because he was God. You and I can go through this process only if God does it in us, but God can only do it if he becomes a man. Our attempts at this dying will succeed only if we men share in God's dying, just as our thinking can succeed only because it's a drop of the ocean of his intelligence. But we cannot share God's dying unless God dies, and he cannot die except by being a man. That is the sense in which he pays our debt and suffers for us what he himself need not suffer at all." End quote. That's why it's Good Friday. Jesus' death is ultimately what allows us to be close to God. We can't rise above our own brokenness by ourselves, and so God descended into it because he loves us that much. And yet, you know, with all that said, if that was the end of the story, there wouldn't be any hope, would there? Death is still the end of everything, but it's not the end of the story. When we're standing there in the darkness, weeping at the death and devastation that we hear about every day, we can look at the horizon, see the dawn coming, and know that there is an empty tomb. The death does not and will not have the final word. Romans chapter 6, verse 5 says this, "If we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly also be united with him in a resurrection like his." Because Jesus Christ was united with humanity through death, we have been united with him in the promise of resurrection, the promise of new life. There will be a time when everything wrong will be made right again, when death will no longer have dominion. You know, Easter weekend is 3 days. Good Friday and Easter Sunday typically get the most attention, church services and so forth, but between them is Holy Saturday, the day of waiting. I sometimes think about what that Saturday must have been like for the disciples, for Jesus' family and friends. Jesus is dead, he's buried, all hope seems to be gone. One full day of waiting, processing everything. I envision that day being overcast, gray, the kind of day that you don't find any joy in. Today, now, Holy Saturday is traditionally observed as a day of quiet, somber reflection. And for me, it's an indication that while God does have the end of the story already written, it's not happening immediately. Just like Jesus wasn't pronounced dead on the cross and then opened his eyes that same moment, there's a time of waiting. And in some ways, that's sort of a microcosm of where we are now. The sadness and the grief does remain, and it's a reality. But we are waiting for that ultimate final resurrection, the day of life that will come. At Open Doors, we work to strengthen persecuted Christians around the world, such as those who dealt with the Easter bombings 5 years ago. With your partnership and support, we connect with these churches and enable them to represent Jesus Christ in places where it's difficult to be a Christian. And sometimes we hear these stories of death and devastation, and it's hard to fathom, but for our persecuted brothers and sisters, their hope remains in Jesus. Some time ago, our partners had the chance to connect with persecuted Christians in Iraq. And they asked them the question, what does the cross mean to you? One of the people they talked to was Amar, who's a church leader in Karakash. He said this, quote, "We have been celebrating the day of the cross for centuries. It is very important to us. The cross reminds us of the victory of Jesus over death and pain. Yes, we face many troubles, but we believe that one day we will get rid of this pain and be with Jesus." Another Iraqi Christian named Salah said this simply, "The cross for me is a sign of victory, victory over oppression." This Easter, I hope you will take time to consider what the cross means to you and how it gives hope in a world that's marked with brokenness. I hope you'll also take time to pray for Christians who are celebrating Easter in places that might be hostile towards their faith. Pray that Jesus will be with your persecuted family and that they will feel his presence. I'm going to close us off in a word of prayer right now, so pray with me. Lord God, this Easter, we are reminded once again of the amazing act of love that was your incarnation, your life, and then the crucifixion, and above all, the resurrection. Lord, we thank you for the hope that we can find in that. We thank you for the promise that one day there will be no more death or sorrow or tears, for these things have passed away. Thank you for the picture of new life that we get in the resurrection. We look forward so much, Lord, to that final day when everything wrong will be made right again. This Holy Week, God, I pray for everyone around the world who is celebrating Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter Sunday, for church services that are going on around the world, for festivals and times of celebration, as well as times of prayer and reflection and quiet. God, for all of these people who are celebrating around the world, would you keep them safe, especially in countries that experience persecution? I pray that your Holy Spirit would do a mighty work around the world this Easter weekend. We pray that all of your children, all of your church around the world would take this time to be a light for you in whatever situation they find themselves. May us here in Canada be moved to prayer for our persecuted family. And God, I pray that this Easter would be a time of hope and joy for everyone who's listening to this podcast today. So I pray a blessing on your church this Easter in Jesus' name. And I close with this traditional prayer for Easter Sunday. Lord of life and power, through the mighty resurrection of your Son, you have overcome the old order of sin and death and have made all things new in him. May we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, reign with him in glory, who with you and the Holy Spirit is alive, one God, now and forever. Thank you for joining us for a quick Easter weekend podcast. I wish you and your loved ones a very blessed Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday. As always, you can learn more about the persecuted church as well as resources on how to pray for them at opendoorscanada.org. Follow along at Open Doors Canada on all social media platforms for the latest stories, prayer requests, and more. Happy Easter, and God bless you.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Open Doors Canada podcast. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast so that you know when our next episode is out. You can learn more about what persecuted Christians face and how you can help to strengthen them on our social media at Open Doors Canada or at our website, opendoorscanada.org.